Welcome to Off Court, the Business of Sport podcast, where business and sports culture meet. Let's go. Kick it off, Robbie.
Joined by Jackson Tibbett today. How you going, man?
Hey, Robbie. Yeah, really well, man. After having our chat, I think, you know, I thought I was the busy one, but I think you're the busy one.
It's getting to that time of the year. Everything kind of escalates this time of year, I feel, coming into, you know, November, December, particularly for brands, is definitely a very busy time of the year, as you would know, work with a lot of brands. But, it's a privilege to have you on the show. I feel like we've crossed paths many times digitally, but it's good to actually have a chat properly and I'm keen to explore what you're up to.
Oh, absolutely, man. As I just said, prior to this, I didn't even know you were the previous owner of Uncle Jack's. You're the current owner of Athleticon. You got your podcast. I was like, you know what I mean? Now I've put a face to it and I've only just followed you. Got a lot of respect for you, man. So it's cool to align yourself, and I'm sure you're going to be very busy with like the Black Friday coming up and all of that type of stuff too.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate that. It's funny how you like, we were just saying off air before how you come across a lot of people just through like Instagram and, you know, social media in general, but you don't always put the pieces together of, you know, what people are doing and where you know them from. And, because I followed a bit of what you're up to, and you've obviously got around Athleticon before, and always seeing you wearing the kicks and the socks and stuff. So yeah, it's a small world, and sometimes it's hard to put those pieces together.
Well, now I'm gonna expose and advertise even more that I know a legend.
You're a good man. You're a good man. So what have you been up to lately? It's obviously been a bit of a different time the last few months, as, you know, everyone's kind of experienced. We don't need to deep dive into that too much. But, yeah, what have you been up to?
To be honest, man, my mentality and mindset has shifted beyond measures in the last probably 6 months, more than my whole 25 years of age. I think it's really been with who I've surrounded myself with and looked up to, and cut out a lot of negativity and bullshit and fakeness on social media, which is so important and crucial to so many people listening. I'm a big believer now in who you surround yourself with, and what you watch and what you read and what you see is probably who you are. And I just can't explain how much of a difference it's made in my life, and just focusing on excelling my business and becoming the best individual I can. That's probably it in a nutshell.
Love that. Tell me about the business, because I'm intrigued. It is we're a sport and business podcast. Keen to kind of dive into, you know, what you're up to and, you know, how you kind of structure that. So if you want to give us a bit of a debrief on the business and what you're doing and where it's kind of at now.
Absolutely, man. So like yourself, it's not just one thing. It's like I'm doing like 4 to 5 things, and it's all just, it really does take up time when you do all the back end work. My main job is online coaching. So, you know, same as Danny Kennedy, I check in with my clients. I adjust their training, their diet, their nutrition, weekly check-ins. So that alone is job in itself. And then on the side, I'm doing so much modeling brand work, if that's what you want to call it, with, for example, brands like yourself, Athleticon, Culture Kings. Honestly, it's just exposure left, right, and center. Like, I've just walked in the door then, and there's another 10 parcels on the door. And it's like, it's funny, man. I put up this story yesterday of just a few of my packages, and I got a lot of replies, and people were like, oh, you're living the life. And I'm like, it's not what it looks like. Like, all of this is work related. I don't just get it, and it's just in my wardrobe, and that's it. Like, it's all got to do with a photo shoot, stories, video content. And that's what they don't see about it. They just see the glamour side of the modeling, if that makes sense. So that's the two. And then like your podcast, I've got my own podcast, which I do have a co-host, but I'm doing probably 90% of the episodes, lining up every single guest, doing all the editing. Man, that in itself is like I pumped out 105 episodes, and I'm jumping on probably 2 to 3 other guest episodes a week. So it's nearly a full-time job in itself, and it's not even you know, there's no payment out of it. I'm just doing purely for enjoyment and exposure right now. And I'm currently in the works of bringing out my own clothing line. So, yeah, with all of those four things, man, and just trying to actually be a normal 25-year-old, like, it is pretty full on, I'm not going to lie. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't think if you're not putting in the work and you don't have multiple avenues of income and you're not trying to excel, then I just don't believe that's living.
For sure. I mean, you're 25, I'm 28. We're not that far apart, but...
Wow. Yeah.
I kind of have a similar sort of feeling about, you know, working at this age and not necessarily... I mean, this is just, you know, a personal thing. It obviously doesn't apply to everyone, but I like to get a feel for a few different things. I like to be working on a few different projects. And there's a few things that goes into that. It's not just being interested in so many things or wanting to stretch myself. You know, I think there's an aspect of, well, by doing just one thing, which again, there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like I might miss out on an opportunity where I'm going to realize that I really enjoy something, or I'm going to miss out on sort of seeing opportunities. But, you know, I think as long as those things you're doing are aligned, you know, which yours are obviously very aligned, you know, I think you only have to go onto your website, jacksontibbett.com.au. If anyone wants to check it out, you know, you have a few different offerings, you know, in terms of what you were just talking about, in terms of breaking them down into, you know, different avenues, if you will, but they are all very aligned. And it's largely around sort of development, isn't it? You know, building your body, building your brand, and the I Am Me podcast are all very related. So it makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like you're doing way too much, but when you condense them into one vision, one goal, it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, a lot of people ask, how did I get into modeling and how did I get into the podcast? What you've just said is I firmly believe they all counteract each other. It's, you know, like with my image and when I started to get in my best shape and my coaching, that led to more like fitness lifestyle shoots. And then that kind of trickled into more fashion shoots. And then the podcast led into getting massive guests on that. It just all aligns, and it's who you meet and who you surround yourself with. And as soon as you know it, it's like a yo-yo effect, and you just, you know, you're getting exposure left, right, and center.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, I would love if you could screenshot it, chuck it up on your Instagram story, and tag us at offcourt.sport. All right, let's get back to it. Tell me about the modeling, because you've got a look that I'm certain, because I know from a brand perspective, is very sort of sought after. Is that something that you just kind of build momentum on, and as you said, kind of build contacts that want to do those sort of things? Like, what's been your kind of avenue for growth in that area?
Don't turn down anyone. and a lot of people say this, like, you get, you know, as you get bigger and you get a bit more exposure, I'll only work with such and such. I don't believe in that, man. Like, most of my shoots on a weekly are brands that are just starting out, 1,000 followers, absolutely no one. But I just think if you just give the proper time and content, no matter if it's, you know, 1,000 follower brand, or if it's Taro, Cash, or Culture Kings, it's the same content, it's the same genuine person, and you just want the best for that product. And I think that's what I've been known for, is just like, my prices are cheap, I deliver the content, and that's it, man. Like, it's just being genuine, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think the other aspect from a brand perspective is, like, accessibility. Like, sometimes it's like just the biggest pain in the ass to get a model, you know, that you want, because there's just so many hurdles. You got to go through an agent who's got a sub manager who's got who needs to liaise with the, you know, a legal team to get a contract signed, and it's just, at the end of the day, it becomes too hard. So accessibility, I think, is one thing that, you know, from the outside looking in, it makes it a lot easier to land clients and kind of build a reputation around that.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. That actually could be a reason as to why I'm growing so much in that area. I've always just done freelance. I've always got back to a brand or a client honestly within the hour. I don't let anyone else control my IG. I don't pass through emails or have an agent do anything. If anything, at the end of the day, like, I don't think I've done it with yourself, but 90% of brands, if they reach out to me, man, I jump on a call with the owner. I have a decent chat. They feel so connected to me like family. I tell them to post it out. I'll get it done for you ASAP. And it's just simple as that, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think even with social media, I think, you know, in terms of business, we still haven't lost that personal touch. You can't just build relationships, you know, through Instagram DMs. There's still, it's still a, you know, an overarching relationship sort of concept where, you know, as you said, if you pick up the phone and, you know, have a quick 5-minute chat, it goes a long way. Or even, you know, just regular back and forth, depends what it is, connecting on LinkedIn, a couple of emails. You know, it's not just social media. It's a, you know, we're talking about real businesses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. To be honest, I don't know the last time I do the odd typing on Instagram. Everything is just voice messages. And 90% of the time, as you've seen myself, I'm like, do you want to jump on a call? Like, I'm just a huge believer, man. It's just a way better form of, you just really get to know someone's vibe. Do you know what I mean?
Talk me through the voice messages, because you're one of a few who does it. I've done it a few times, like when I need to, you know, talk about it, something a bit more complex. But there's a few who will only talk to me in voice messages, which I think is cool because you kind of save a bit of mucking around. But how did you get onto that? Was that like something that you kind of learned as far as, you know, productivity, or how did you start that?
Yeah, man, I think it's like kind of a little bandwagon now. A lot of people are jumping on it. But I learned it through time efficiency and basically the way you express yourself. So I just found with the amount of messages I'm doing a day, if I'm typing, and it's not a one-off type, like, so if I type to you, you reply and then I reply back. So it's a conversation. But if I can send a voice note, a minute, 2 minutes, I can express most of that through it. But the way that you type is different to the way that you speak. So I found that a lot with my clients is that if, you know, I might go, could you, what's an example? Could you do some extra cardio this week? And they go, sure. To me, I feel like that sure is like, sure, like, fuck you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm being honest. But really, sometimes it could be like a polite sure. But if they said in a voice message, like, oh, sure, Jackson, like, absolutely, I'll do whatever it takes to, you know, achieve my goal. I feel like that in itself, as opposed to sure with a full stop, is a completely different complex.
Yeah, I reckon I'd be sending you the sure fuck off in that context.
Oh, I get it a lot.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. It is so hard to kind of portray tone over message. So, mate, I like it. I think if it works for you, it's accessible, and it kind of, well, it's also efficient as far as time, but it's that relationship builder as well.
Just another tool in the box of, I just think, why you could excel as an individual. And that's just my personal opinion, but I think it's another little tool that a lot of people should use.
And what about the podcast? Because obviously, you know, we're talking on a podcast right now, but how did it start? Because you've got some really good guests on there now, and you've 105 episodes in?
Yeah, it just cracked 110. I don't know how it started. It was just a dream. It was just like a little bit of a play around. I've always loved podcasts. I've loved listening to them. I think they're an awesome thing. And as you know, they're definitely growing more and more as of late. But it was like, I thought the best way to express myself. So if you go look on my page, you probably don't know rat shit about me, man. You know, you look at my ink, you look at my structure, and you perceive me as something different. But when you go really deep in and dive in and listen to a proper podcast of me talking about my past, my steroid use, whatever it may be, you really get to learn a lot about me as an individual. And that's what I wanted to express more, that I want you to know more of I am me than just my image.
Love that. Because I was going to say, like, a lot of the podcast is about, you know, mindset and mental health is kind of like the subject, if you will. So was there something that kind of like instigated that, where you're like, I really, I really need to do this where I need to share my story and, you know, get people on that can be, I suppose, vulnerable too.
Yeah, I think just I used to get a lot of hate and a lot of drama and negativity. And I think once I actually changed out of that individual, I just wanted to showcase and express it more so people actually knew. It's not really an incomplex thing. I just think it's a lot better way for people to see the change in me and the value that I want to bring and try help other people with quality information and stories.
And it's interesting because personal branding is something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily consider for themselves. They think, look, I'm not doing anything you know, outrageous that's going to be making headlines, so why would I go out and you know, make a website or a podcast or have like a professional Instagram or anything like that? But it doesn't have to be that big. So things like even just having a blog where, you know, if you're doing, I don't know, if you're an amateur cook at a restaurant, you're a chef or whatever, I don't know. But just having a blog where you post, it could be Instagram form, where you post, you know, things that you're doing and, you know, recipes and tips and tricks. Even if you build a small following of 200 people that are actually engaged with what you're doing, you never know what opportunities are going to arise from that. One of those 200 people could go, hey, I know, you know, so-and-so famous chef who's looking for someone to take over and run, you know, 10 restaurants. So you just never know who's listening, who's watching. And a podcast is a really, really good way to, as you said, tell your story, but also build your personal brand. There's, you know, if you can engage someone to actually listen to, you know, 25 minutes, half an hour of your podcast, they're obviously going to get a really good idea about who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, man. Basically, it's like a trickle effect with guests. I don't know if it's the same for you, but every big guest that I've got on board has been a trickle effect from someone else. So it's like, for example, I got Michael Zarafa on. And then because I got that, it's like a connection where I got Danny Green on. And then me and Danny Green are great friends. And then like that led on because he knew like Anthony Koutafidis. And then it's like I'm getting politicians on now, and then they know bigger politicians. And I just feel like it's a trickle effect, man. Once you get on someone's good side and you're a good host and you accommodate for them well, there's no reason you can't go higher. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's exactly the same for me. But it's also that validation where, you know, if you're someone who's a celebrity or someone of, you know, significant influence, you want to see that someone else or someone you know or someone you trust has already been on this podcast for you to know that it's kind of safe to go on, you know, and you give the example of like, you know, building the momentum. And it's just, it's incredible, not just in getting, you know, guests on podcasts, but just in generally in business, in life, what a referral or word of mouth, how powerful it is, as opposed to, you know, your traditional kind of cold marketing. Yeah, it's significant. And as you said, it's just a snowball effect.
I believe it's similar to a job, man. It's who you know. And like, but it's so true. Like once, I'm not going to give the names, but once a few people realize that, oh, such and such has been on my podcast, no matter what really happened, they automatically felt like, oh, it turned out great. Like there was no negative feedback. It was good exposure. So like it's like, oh yeah, I'm happy to come on. You know what I mean?
For sure. And it's just like it goes back to like anything else, like, oh, you know, Cam Munster wears that brand or, you know, whoever, Patty Mills is rocking, whatever. And it adds that instant validation. What's next for you in terms of the podcast? Where are you looking to kind of get that to?
Man, sky's the limit with it. Obviously, COVID has stuffed around a lot of stuff. And the reason, what I originally want to do and do want to do is I want to do more of, like I'll have my studio set up in my house with my microphones, have big guests coming in from around Australia. It's like a lot more exposure doing it that way. But obviously, COVID ruined that, where pretty much the last 2 years, the only guests I could have had on board is Sunshine Coast, Brisbane or Queensland. So it's like I thought about ticking outside the box, because basically every big guest I've had on board is interstate. So I just wanted to get it started, but now I want to do the face-to-face like Joe Rogan. And to be honest, man, like, sky's the limit. Like, I don't see why, and I mean it, I don't see why I can't get, in 5 years' time, any guests that I want in the world on my podcast.
Love that. I think we'll, in 5 years' time, we might circle back to that.
I'm aiming for Donald Trump, and I mean it.
I love it. I'll look forward to listening to that one.
I think too many people, they undervalue themselves. They doubt themselves. They fear failure. Bro, you got to up-level it, and you got to believe in yourself, or it's never going to happen.
I love it. And hey, it's all about the mindset, right? If you think you can, and you work backwards, you put strategies in place to make that happen, you know, you can figure it out. But, you know, if you set your sights lower, you know, then you start working back from that point, and you might end up somewhere in the middle. So it's a good mindset to have, you know, as long as it's emotionally and mentally, you know, you can live with those expectations, and you're able to work towards that without sort of burning out, which I think you're the kind of guy that can really just, you know, head down, bum up, and just work your ass off. Then it's obviously a good thing to set, you know, lofty expectations.
Yeah. Like, it'd be the same as Athleticon, for example. Like, do you just say you want to sell a couple of like, I'm sure you've got your limits, you know what I mean? You know how high you want to go with it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got to set, you know, what do they call it? Is it big, hairy, audacious goals or something like that? You know, you've got to have that goal in terms of, well, this is like the dream. This is what I'd love to get to. And hey, if you fall a little bit short, you've still done really well. So
I was just about to say that if you set it high enough to like, it's like people are like, nah, it's not going to happen. Yeah, you might not even get that. And that's okay. But I'm still going to be a hell of a lot higher than I did if I didn't set that high goal.
For sure. Mate, before we wrap up, if you had to go back and give yourself some advice at sort of 18, 19 years old, what would that be?
Oh, man, so much. It's not even funny. I could write a book. to be honest, man, just live in the now. Enjoy the now. I think too many people at such a young age are focused on becoming a millionaire or dating this person or having materialistic things. And it's a bit of an off misconception. I think you just got to enjoy the now, like literally just live it. Because I look back and, man, my teens were gone like that. And really, did I enjoy a lot of it? Probably not, because I was perceiving myself as someone different. So I wish I could just go back, enjoy the little things with my family, hanging out with friends, make the most of school, all of that type of stuff. But also, I think people have to, on the opposite end, they have to have a goal in sight. Too many people also sit at that 18 to 30 year range and they're just party animals. And it's like, what happens when you crack that over 30 and it's like, okay, like I'm not going to do this anymore. It's time to have a family. It's time to actually start working, invest in a house, and you start from scratch. It's too late, man. You're going to be working and slaving until you're 60, 70.
For sure. And I think it's like, look, I think that's, you know, incredibly good advice. And I don't want this to come across the wrong way for people judging me, but I always think that what I kind of think and maybe do is not necessarily what the average person thinks and does, which is okay, because you know, I'm running my own race and everyone's running their own race, and I think we're all on our, you know, we're getting deep now, but I think we're all on our own sort of timelines, and what works for me doesn't work for someone else. What works for someone else in terms of, you know, I don't think I could sit in one job for 20 years, and because I just don't think I would necessarily enjoy it. I need change. I need different things in my life. I like to have different projects going on, as I said at the start, as do you. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you just kind of have to be, I think at the end of the day, the kind of the underlining thing is just having an open mind as to what you can do and what you can be.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't understand. And once again, I got nothing wrong with people that they do the 9-to-5 job for the rest of their life. They never move state. They never travel. They never leave the country. But to me, man, that is not living. And there's so much more to life. And I think the reason people do that, I don't necessarily think they enjoy it. I think they're just comfortable in their ways and they're scared to break out of the barrier and be like, what if? What if this happens? What if I don't get as much pay? What if it doesn't turn out the way it's meant to be? But once again, it comes back to backing yourself. If you genuinely know deep down in your heart that you're going to, you know, strive and do the best you can and be consistent with it, you'll pretty much, you know, pursue and I think you'll win with whatever goal you want to achieve.
Definitely. On that note, Jackson, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. You can check out jacksontip.com.au or the I Am Me podcast to follow along. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure and thanks for jumping on.
Nah, thanks so much, Robbie. Like I feel like this is why I love podcasts. It builds a bit of better connection. Like I actually see your face. I have a bit more of a chat about you. I know things that I didn't even know. And it's like I got a lot more respect for you now and I can't wait to just keep supporting each other.
Legend. Good on you, mate, and I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, man.